Hey everyone, it's Mike from BGN. Before the show starts, I wanted to quickly tell you about a very special new sponsor that we have at the network, Golden Goal Press. Now, I've intentionally been very selective about who we partner with as a network because I never want to advertise for someone that we don't think would benefit you personally. That's why Roughneck Scarves is and continues to be a great sponsor, as they've been able to outfit tons of supporters groups and organizations with amazing scarves. Golden Goal Press is unique because after researching tons of companies, we decided the best way to serve your needs directly is to create a new company that can work directly with you. Golden Goal Press helps you create custom shirts, hats, mugs, flags, literally the list of items can go on, and we do it with a unique personal touch that provides you with the best products at a fraction of the cost of other print shops online. So the next time you're looking for one custom item or hundreds, please go check out goldengoalpress.com. As always, we appreciate your support. And now, on with the show.
Hey, this is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey, guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Bounce, Dennis, three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, a little bit later than normal, but that's what happens when you're live at a bar for the game. This is the Unused Substitutes. We are live on Radio St. Pete on location at the Shamrock Pub in Sarasota, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Goal Press. This is your Rowdies Talk Radio, your green and gold gospel. We've got some new equipment, new people doing new things this week. So I've totally forgotten everything I've done for the last 200 episodes. Well, anyway, my name is Matt, and sitting next to me is a guy who has told death, not today. He is inevitable. It's Stephen Cundiff. Stephen, welcome to your first full show, not as a guest, not as a fill-in, but as the guy. It's official now. We threw a scarf on you, so now you belong to us. Other than the game results, Stephen, how you doing?
Well, welcome everybody to the 25% mark of the 2019 season. We have officially hit that tonight,
It's officially time to stop saying it's still early in the season, right?
I would say that yes. This is when we start to get worried and things start to kind of either go really well or really break down quickly. And that's kind of where we're at in the point in the season, especially with the congestion that's going about to happen with the scheduling here. Like, this is where we start to get that pucker factor. This is where, and I'm going to be honest, this is where you start to see the pessimist in me come out, because that's what I'm known for, and it's really starting to kick into high gear here.
You ran a Twitter account for a while just called Rowdy's Pessimist.
Yeah, it was. And it was funny because I was right a lot, and it was really depressing, but it worked for me for a bit.
See, this is one of the things that we weighed, because I always describe myself as the infernal optimist, like even when things are going to hell, mm-hmm. I'm still, I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to get a goal. But, you know, sometimes experience just kicks in and you realize, what do we say to the God of clean sheets? Not tonight. Well, I guess we had a clean sheet tonight, but God of 3 points? Not tonight. We're going to get to tonight's game in just a minute. If you weren't paying attention, I don't really know why you're listening to this show, but we're glad to have you. The Rowdies just came off a scoreless draw in Indy. I thought for those kind of games that they went to overtime or something and then kicked field goals to see who was the winner. But that's not how they do it in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Oh, come on. We got to go thematic with the times here. It's Stanley Cup playoffs. So you go down to 10 men, and then you play like a 10-minute period, and then you go to 9 men, right? Is that how the regular season
Right,
is?
Right.
You just keep going down a man, and eventually it's like the goalkeeper on the goalkeeper. You just go the whole length of the field, right?
We almost went down the goalkeeper, too.
Yes.
Not today.
That would be funny to see Konopka out there on that one-on-one situation. I don't know how that would play out.
He's got the size to at least intimidate the other keeper. Dude is big.
True.
All right, before we get tonight's game, we're going to rewind a little bit. On Saturday, the Rowdies were home hosting the Charlotte Independents. Also a draw. At least there were goals in that one, though. I missed the game. Steven, you were there, and I swore I was going to go back and rewatch it this afternoon before I left work, and then I kept doing other work-related things and didn't get to it. So I'm going to kind of let you handle this because you have a lot of notes to begin with. Rowdies won, Charlotte won. Charlotte scored in, what, the 11th minute. Rowdies equalized a little while later, and that was it. They still played the remainder of the game anyway because that's what you have to do. What's your good, bad, ugly from last Saturday?
Well, yes, being the complete nerd that I am, of course I took notes. I've got like 2 or 3 pages of notes ready for tonight. I don't know how many of these I'm going to use, but that being said, and I don't know how intelligent this is, but we're going to find out how this goes probably from a show to show here. But all right, here's my thing as far as that game against Charlotte. I'd prefer the 3 points at home, obviously, because that's going to be an important thing, especially when we get down the line. And we're going to get to this here in a second, because now that we've hit the quarter of the season, I'm already looking ahead to the end. Like, I'm ready to go. Like I said, I'm ready to hit the panic button now. And I'm going to, like I said, we're going to get into that. That's going to be fun. Good, bad, ugly, because we're going to continue this tradition, I'm sure, probably for the rest of end of time here. Good, what I'm going to say is this. Aduro for Charlotte. Dominic Aduro is absolutely known for one thing in particular, and that's his speed. For several years, he was in Columbus, he was in Montreal. That's his number one trademark, is purely just speed.
Like, his Twitter handle was, or still is, like, freaky fast something. Like,
I think it used to be or something. Yeah, something like that. We did, other than the, like, within a couple minutes of the first, of the blowing of the whistle to start the game, like, he had a through ball that was like a one-on-one with McCarthy, like, almost from the get-go. And I'm looking around going, how did we not anticipate that better? Like, how did we let somebody who's literally only known for this to get a through ball, like, right down the middle of the field? Now, here's why I'm bringing this up. My good is we did not let that happen the entire rest of the night.
Okay.
He did not get a clean through ball on a fast breakaway the rest. And I will give a lot of credit to the Rowdies defense for making sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, because you got to figure he's going to get at least one, and you hope he doesn't make something of it.
And, honestly, to
limit him to just the one, and especially at the beginning of the game, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and granted, he's not the same player he was about 3 or 4 years ago. He's lost a step or two. That's why he's playing in our league. I mean, he's not the same player he was back then. But I will still give credit to where credit's due, and that was we did not give him a free chance for the rest of the night. Now, granted, he scored the goal on that set piece, which was unfortunate, but I mean, set piece is set piece. That is what it is. It's about the open play that you really, that's where you see the tactics and everything. That was where we were important, and I was very happy about that. That was my good. Now, that being said, the bad. We really don't do much offensively. Like, we, and it's bad because, of course, we're about to repeat this whole thing tonight for bad and ugly for tonight's game, but, you know, we had 9 shots on goal against Charlotte, but realistically, it almost didn't feel like that. And especially when you were looking at the fact that you think mentally you're going after the game to win at the end, and it just didn't feel like we were putting that much pressure on them. Like, it didn't feel like we had them on their heels, especially towards the end. And it's that kind of thing that's worrisome as far as offensively speaking. Now, granted, we have a defensive coach, but it is what it is. Ugly? Yeah, our set pieces, like, continue to be horrific.
And we started off the year pretty good. Better than in years past, it seemed like.
Well, yeah, but, like, when your starting number is literally 0.0% conversion rate on all set pieces of every type combined except for PKs, you're not accomplishing much when he goes up to 10%, maybe. I'm just saying.
I don't know if you know, I just in honor of our friend who was at the game tonight, I just almost pulled a suit all and pulled the whole power cord out.
I saw that. I was keeping calm and very professional, and we were going to ride the wave if that happened. We were going to just switch to Twitter and just live tweet the whole show.
There you go.
See? We got backup plans.
We can plug stuff back in.
Exactly.
We'd be okay.
Whether it works or not after you plug it back in, I mean, yeah.
It's been said.
All you have to do is put a Volt yellow card right next to it. It'll just charge the whole system, right? That's how that works, right?
Light up the entire bar if you did that.
There you go.
All right, so was that your bad and your ugly, or is that just your bad?
No, that was bad and ugly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your man of the match, the best Rowdies player on the field, in your opinion?
For the Charlotte game, I'm definitely going Leo Fernandez. I know that's how the league went when they did their team of the week. I'll go with that, too.
Right.
And granted, they were combining two different games, but I'm still going to go with Fernandez anyways. His play on the wings has been really impressive this year, and I've really enjoyed watching the creativity from him on the passing side and on the off-the-ball movement. He's one of the few bright spots when it comes to that kind of creativity and spontaneity that you need. Hello? Like, you need this. And mm-hmm. He's one of the few that does it. So, yeah, I'll give him my Man of the Match award.
Okay. And let's move on to tonight.
Do we really have to? Like, this is one of those, like, alternate now, timelines where we could just ignore this game existed and we just pretend we pulled the time stone out of the thing.
Oh, are we doing endgame review instead?
No, because we can't give away spoilers. We're not that mean.
I'm just saying, I was telling this to some of my students this week. I thought it was, you know, that they built this up and it's a 3-hour long movie, and really in the first 5 minutes Ant-Man just grows like really big and steps on Thanos and that's it, and they play Monopoly for the next 2.5 hours. It was a really weird movie.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm not spoiling anything.
Did I put it out there? I thought my mic was off. Oh man. Just pretend that didn't happen, guys. Uh-oh.
That's okay, just put a sling ring on it. You're all right.
And really, all that hype about movie and they killed Captain Marvel off? That's insane.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's funny how weak she was in that movie.
What if instead of doing the good, bad, ugly kind of thing, because we usually do that after sitting on it for a few days, thinking about it, doing a little research, do you just want to do like rapid reaction?
Yeah, I'm okay with that because, I mean, good, bad, ugly is going to be difficult, especially on a game like this when everybody's emotions are kind of down.
Exactly. Which is why we started doing shows on Wednesdays in the first place, and now all of a sudden we have 3 games back to back to back on Wednesday night, so we're just
hey,
working
I'm not
out
complaining.
This way.
It works for me getting used to this gig, so you know I'm not going to complain about this.
And you know, as an old guy, and enjoy having weekends off, especially with like my daughter out of town this weekend. I'm like, oh, I can sleep in and do stuff. And but then I'd rather get wins too, so it'd be kind of a little bit better. All right, so your rapid reaction. Your how are you feeling after this game?
Okay,
you said it. Panic button.
Oh, I'm ready to hit the panic button. But like I said, I'm going to get into why I'm hitting panic button. That's later. As far as tonight's game goes, I'm disappointed, I think, more than anything else.
Is this you're not angry, you're disappointed?
I'm not angry yet. As far as tonight's individual game, I'm not angry yet. I'm disappointed. And the reason why I'm disappointed is we just played a game with 0 shots on goal and a man advantage. What? Like, I'm sorry, but...
With 61% possession.
We need, and you know, it's funny because we had this complaint last year, and we've had this complaint for the last several years, that this team has always had this insane difficulty of breaking down enemy teams that bunker.
Yeah. And as soon as they go to 10 men,
whether it's 10 men or 11 men, it didn't even matter. Like, we have the hardest time breaking those teams down. Now, I have my theories for that.
Like, it could have been to our advantage tonight if they had stayed at 11 men, and because that probably changed your defensive mindset.
Of course, I also think, well, okay, here's your pessimist moment. We lose that game if Indy 11 stays with 11 men.
Okay.
I think we lose that game.
Okay.
Not because we finished the game with 0 shots on goal, but this is my recap, my little warning that was posted on Twitter this morning. Like earlier today, I was saying, guys, this is a team that got beat this weekend with almost no ball possession and hardly any shots. And they're playing at home against a team that has historically been one of the worst in history on turf.
Right.
You knew they were coming out just absolutely balls to the walls, and we got lucky that their player made some boneheaded moves, which if we were doing good, bad, ugly, that was going to be my ugly, was that player. He was my ugly. I didn't even write his name down. I'm like, you're so bad, I'm just not even going to bother. But that was my ugly, because if it wasn't for that, we'd probably lose this game, because at that point, it changed the whole complexion of everything. And
right.
We still almost gave up that goal. Like, we almost lost that.
I told you, I said it's peak rowdies if when this happens, we give up a goal on the counterattack, and then while trying to get an equalizer, we get a red card of our own and a penalty given to Indy, and then Indy wins his 2-0. And that it wouldn't have surprised me, because that's how our luck seems to go when something like this happens.
Yeah.
See, you've listened enough times, you know, when you just break the sigh out sometimes, and you're like, we've seen all this before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
bad. And it's, you know,
it's
we change the players, we change the coaches,
there's this, like, sticky substance that keeps holding our shoes back, and it's amazing how this works.
Is the training field at USF built over a cat cemetery? We need to find this out, because I'm starting to wonder.
Oh, so the Indian mound doesn't just deflect hurricanes, it deflects balls away from the goals.
Well.
And apparently it's intercontinental.
It prevents you from,
It's intercontinental at this point. That's how this is.
All right, so looking at our stats from tonight, 61% possession, 44.6% dual success rate, 31.4% aerial duel success, or aerial duels won.
All of those expected. Here's the thing about stats. I know people are going to harp on this and go, oh, some of those are awful. Guys, they bunkered the entire game. Like,
yeah.
Those stat lines are expected. That's fine. I'm not worried about that.
But honestly, like, we don't seem... I don't think I see much different in those numbers than when we play 11v11, because we keep seeing them play this, you know, run it down the wing, cross it in, when 9 times out of 10, our players who are in the box are...
Short.
Significantly shorter than the opposition players.
And we have this really ugly tendency of passing it... Like, of crossing it near post, and everybody goes far post, or vice versa, or we can't get it past, like, the first guy in the line. Like,
the one I want to check out right now, though, is the distribution, because we attempted 537 passes to 348 for Indy. That's to be expected with the man advantage.
Mm-hmm.
67 to 68 long passes, 85% passing accuracy. But it really didn't feel like that sometimes, like, because I kept seeing passes after passes being intercepted, being deflected, being picked off.
You know what's funny is, like, in a game where, now granted, this may just be opinion. I'm not going to proclaim myself an expert. I've never officially been a coach or anything like that. I'm certainly not licensed for that. But I actually find it surprising that our long passes stats were almost equal tonight.
Yeah.
I mean,
all Indy was doing was long passing.
But that's the point. We had as many as they did.
Yeah.
On a game where they were bunkered in the whole time. Why are we...
Are they trying to keep it off, like, the turf? Is that... And negate the whatever is causing them problems on turf?
But here's the thing. Like, after a certain point, the rowdies need to be able to figure out, hey, guys, like, the pass isn't working, you know, the long ball's not working. We're going to have to play it short.
Right.
And try and break down a defense with quick, short, one-time passes with some off-the-ball movement from another player to create... you have to create your own space, and you're not going to do that by hitting the ball up 30 yards. So it's kind of odd that we have the same amount of long passes. Now, I wonder in that stat if they count crosses as well, but that's...
I don't... Well, crosses are broken out into every category. It was 30 to 10 for the Rowdies. 40% accuracy...
That's embarrassing.
...to 13% accuracy.
30 crosses. That's what was recorded. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I will officially declare that as my opinion for that.
That's your ugly?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. 30 passes and you didn't get a single shot on goal? Guys, really? You need to change it up if that's not working. And again, like, if that's the tactics that that Neil wants during the game, I get it. That's an opinion, and I'm not going to say he's wrong, because you're entitled to that. But at a certain point, if it's the 60th minute and this hasn't worked all game, then we need to do something to be able to switch that up. Like, you can't just hit the same drum the whole thing. You got to do something different.
There was something you were something different you were looking for in the game, and we didn't see it tonight.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to be honest. I thought that this would have been a good game for Poku.
I can see that.
I think we needed a bit of a greedy player with the dribbling. that I think that would have actually helped in a game like this.
Especially someone looking to get his minutes to start getting his time.
Well, that's...
And, you know, hopefully he's a little bit hungry. Hopefully he's a little bit more aggressive.
But what I understand that may or may not be part of the problem with Poku as far as the eagerness he is to play for the club and for the team. But I don't know if that's necessarily true per se. But we've seen him play... Like, I got a chance to watch him play against Sarasota.
Right.
And when he played against Metropolis, I mean, he looked fine. Don't get me wrong. But what was the issue last year? He always had a tendency of seeming to quit on plays and things like that, and that was the big complaint about him. Guys, you have a man advantage game on the road with like virtually nothing to lose in terms of the risk of him, like, say, getting caught on a transition. Who cares if he gets caught on a transition? There's only one Indy player up top, so even if you leave him behind in the dust, it doesn't matter. You're gonna get the ball back eventually anyways.
Exactly.
I would have played Poku, not to mention we need the rotation on the squad.
Right.
And, you know, we played, by and large, the same, eight players, like four or five games in a row, in a pretty short period of time.
Yeah, there was three changes tonight, but
generally,
substantially
it's like
same
the same
group.
Players
yeah.
that rotate in and out. And I'm like, you can't keep doing this forever. Now, granted, we got a week off now. You know,
yeah, we've got a week till next Wednesday, but then you've got...
A 6-day period, or is it...
Yeah, because it's Wednesday, then we'll have Open Cup on Tuesday, and then we'll have home game on Saturday.
Yeah,
it's gonna be another rough. Like this week off now is nice, but we're gonna hit another patch.
Now here was part of the issue. Now here was something that's interesting, and this bothers me as a fan, is like how injury reports for clubs at this level are just not very well publicized. Like they want to hide that, like hide any injury reports. I understand that we have a couple,
right?
From what I've heard.
Well, and there are some clubs that will, you know, the coach does like a weekly press conference and it's out there.
Yeah.
Who the guys getting treatment are, and the Rowdies have never done that. But I've seen stuff this year that get posted in like game day graphics.
Yeah.
And like that's like even that's more than has been done in the past.
This is true. This is true. They do more this year. But like I said, there's what, three players hurt right now?
Possibly.
When I break that down, like even two players, there's what, only 23 on the roster, right?
Yeah.
And two are goals, three of them are keepers. This is sad. I haven't even memorized this lineup per se yet.
Yeah.
The finer details.
Robinson and Kanapka and
you know, so
the god of death, John McCarthy.
Yes, but when you factor that, Lord help me. But I mean, when you factor all of this in, like we want to sit here and complain about squad rotation, and the reality is like we don't really have the room for squad rotation.
Right.
Like as much as I want, and it was funny because what was one of the things that we were talking about at the beginning of the year? Oh, this team has depth. You can substitute pieces all over the place. It's like, yeah, but that only works when they're healthy.
And just hope we don't get plagued with the number and the severity of injuries we've had in what, the last three, 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, if that starts to pick up, we're doomed.
So our attacking stats tonight, no goals either side, 15 shots to 7 in favor of the Rowdies. 4 of Indy's 7 were on target, 0 for the Rowdies. Rowdies had 4 block shots, 7 outside the box, 8 inside the box. Nothing on target.
That's just absolutely befuddling. You had 30 crosses and no...
And 70 minutes with a man advantage. And, you know...
That's just peak Rowdies right there, isn't it? Like, after 10 years of watching this club, especially on the road on turf, that is just absolutely peak Rowdies.
You might not be getting that press pass after tonight. Defensive stats.
I really want them to change this and turn this around, so I'm optimistic in that way, but I'm gonna call a chicken if I see it that way.
Well,
I
mean, so, and take a look at this. This is your defensive stats for tonight. 16-13 tackle advantage for the Rowdies, 75% to 77% success rate. Indy had 22 clearances to 6 for the Rowdies. Now,
well, that makes
Indy's
sense.
Not really attacking.
No, that makes sense. He had 30 crosses. I wonder how many of those will count and contribute to that. So that makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, to just... It's almost like 22 out of your, 30 crosses, 22 clearance. It's almost like you're just serving it up at that point to them.
Yeah, it's called creativity. And tonight, our guys didn't have that. We didn't. It was the same. We took a couple of shots towards the end from the middle.
Right.
From distance. But by and large. Now, granted, we're not Sebastian. We love him. He's been arguably the best offensive player we've had this year. Most productive for certain. But he missed he almost unplugged the show.
Almost
again.
Did it again.
But no, Sebastian had the game. He had that free header.
Yeah.
He had it. It was right there. It doesn't get any more open than that. He had nobody around him. He's at the penalty spot, roughly.
I think, personally, he should have been credited for a goal with the little diving motion he was making towards the Indy player. That's worth a goal, at least to me.
Yeah, I'll give points in spirit. That's fine.
So we got an imaginary goal, imaginary 3 points.
Yeah, we went on the banter. There you go. Win, losses, ties, and banter.
That's the tiebreaker, right? There's wins, there's goal difference, and then there's banter.
I agree.
Okay. Anything else we need to discuss about these games? We might talk about the Indy one again. Well, not next week, so we're going to have another game to talk about. So
yeah, we're going to have another game to talk about next week. I'm good. I want to leave this one behind. I want to go. It's funny because how many times do we say, "Oh, we're going to learn from this, and we're going to break them. We're going to break down that team that defends against us like this next week." And I'm like, "Yeah, but it's been 10 years."
Yeah, and it's
it's been 10 years. I don't know if we've ever been able to break down a team that's been done this good.
That Paxton and Bunker's down like that, and I mean, and that's the nature of that style of play is that it's difficult to do that. But at some point, especially with a man advantage, you think you've got at least to not even get a shot on target.
I don't want to talk about the night anymore. We're done. That's
all right,
it.
Let's roll on to the Eastern Conference update. Scores from last weekend: Birmingham, with I think this might have been their first win, 1-0 over Loudoun. Memphis dropped a 1-0 decision to Charleston. North Carolina back to their winning ways. It didn't hurt that they were playing Hartford 4-1. Pittsburgh and Nashville drew 2-2. We drew 1-1 with Charlotte. St. Louis FC reclaimed the top spot with a 3-1 win over Swope Park. Ottawa scored 2 and defeated Atlanta 2-0. And this is last Sunday. And Red Bull 2 scored 2 and defeated Indy 2-1. There was another game going tonight. It was us and Indy, and then New York and Birmingham. Last time I checked, New York was up 5-0.
Yeah, I haven't checked a final, but I know they were getting killed.
Like
the last time I saw it was 3-0, and I was like, okay, I'll turn. I'm not even gonna bother looking.
Which brings me back to one thing I was kind of talking about over the weekend. I know the first thing that's gonna come out there is, well, hey, we're still undefeated. Yeah, well,
doesn't matter.
Red Bull 2.
I'm about to point out why that really doesn't matter right
now. Red Bull 2 has a loss, and they're gonna be 6-1-1, and with a gigantic goal differential, they're gonna be getting up to. I mean, we're at plus 10 still.
Oh no, we're gonna get into the standings in a minute. Don't you worry.
But all right. Do we have the updates? Are our standings updated? Oh, because I did the graphic. Well, I think I can kind of figure it out. So we are once again tied for the top spot, at least until the whistle blows in New York, at which point they'll take over top spot.
And they did.
Did they? Okay, so Red Bulls are on top with 19 points.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis is in second on the win differential with 17. We've got 17 as well.
Mm-hmm.
If that score held, New York is now at a plus 12 goal differential. We're still sitting on plus 10. North Carolina FC behind there with plus 9. North Carolina FC is in fourth with 14 points. Charleston with 14. Louisville in sixth with 13 after their win last night over Memphis. Did you watch any of that game at all?
No.
They spent a lot of time talking about the Rowdies. I was watching this while I was grilling some burgers last night. And to be fair, I mean, you had Jochen Graf, you had Lucky Kosana, you had Morgan Hackworth on the field, you had John Hackworth on the side. I mean, there was a lot of Rowdies connections. They were mentioning the Volt jerseys a lot, though. Saying they hope they were going to see him tonight, and I think we almost wore them just because of that. Not entirely sure. Indy 11, Well, they're going to move up a spot to 13th. I mean, they're going to be 7th, but they're going to move up by a point. I think they're going to stay in 7th place with 13. Nashville is in 8th with 11. Ottawa and Birmingham filling out your top 10. Birmingham's making a little bit of a run here after starting off the season kind of rough.
Up until they got smacked
well, tonight. Yeah. I mean, they're still going to sit in 10th place, it looks like, though.
And then you've got the rest.
No, actually, they're going to drop because they're equal on wins with Bethlehem and Atlanta United, but they're going to drop down to a next. Actually, they're going to drop down to. They might go down. They're going to go down to 12th.
Yeah, because there's a puddle there at like 10 points.
Yeah. So Bethlehem Steel is going to be your 10th place team. Atlanta United in 11th. Birmingham 12th. All those teams on 10 points. Riverhounds on 10 points as well in 13th. Loudoun with 5 points. Memphis with 5 points. Charlotte with 5 points. I'm really surprised by Charlotte, to be honest with you. I thought they'd get a better start going this year. I talked to some of their guys last week, their podcast guys, and they were like, well, you know, it's been an interesting season. But Swope Park, 2 points, and Hartford Athletic.
It's just having the I am officially declaring.
Thanks for participating. Are they already eliminated from the playoffs?
No, but I am officially declaring them the Hartford Barracuda. Absolutely, 100%.
The whale bones. All right, you had something you wanted to say about the standings, so take it away.
All right, so one of the things, and now that we're a quarter of the way through the season, let's really start to pay attention to points per game. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to start to really kind of, because that's where you're going to identify trends. And especially when you start seeing teams that have different games played as far as numbers of games played and things like that. Yes, right now we're in third place on paper and it looks great. We love this location, except that when you start looking at points per game, we dropped us like sixth.
There is, so as you're aware, we had this discussion a little earlier this week, partially related.
I think you're fine.
I like following along some of the lower division, aka so-called non-league American teams. One of my favorites is Providence City, and I can't remember the name of the league they play in, but they actually do their table based on points per game.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. It's a legitimately good way to do it. Let's put it this way.
I'd be interested to see, you know, some of the bigger leagues, and they're not because that's not what Europe does, and that's what our leagues want to be like, but it would be interesting to see that if that became a thing.
Now, I'll say this. As far as where this league is right now in terms of points per game, we're only 25% of the way through, so the numbers fluctuate a lot. But like I said, when you drop in the points per game average, we drop two spots.
Right.
So we go from 3 to 5. I think I misspoke earlier. I think I might have said 6 on accident. But yeah, we dropped to 5. Now, remember the playoff format this year. Teams 5 and 6 don't host games. 7 and 8 do host games.
Because what it's
the play-in game.
It's first 10 are in, and then there's a play-in.
7, 8, 9, and 10 do a first round for just those.
So they kind of do like the
7 plays 10,
the English playoff system then, where you've got instead of having like 11 play 12 in the win. Yeah.
So in the context that we know, like how championship, you have 1 and 2.
Yeah. The way it's structured, at least.
And then you have 3, 4, 5, and 6 are in the playoffs. Yeah. In this case, it's 1 through 6 goes into the elimination rounds. 7, 8, 9, and 10 do the playoff game.
Right.
But here's the thing: 7 and 8 host games for that playoff. So 5 and 6 don't host a single game for postseason. But I would absolutely consider the play-in game part of the postseason. I don't consider that as something excluded from it. It's like saying the play-in game for the NCAA bracket doesn't count as a part of the tournament. It kind of does.
It does, but it's different in the sense that there's two teams playing for one spot. So unlike this, where you've got like four teams facing each other, or 18 facing each other for two spots.
So for eventually, me, the way that I look at this, to me, again, opinion, and that's fine. To me, 5 and 6 are the death spots. You don't host a single game, by and large, unless there's some major upsets that happen later in the bracket. You don't host. You're not guaranteed to host a game. 1 through 4 hosts.
Like you say, if your top seed goes out in the second round to like Red Bull 2.
And then you might get a chance at one. But yeah, 1-4 host and 7-8 host. So 5-6 is an ugly spot to be in. And guess what? At the moment, we're in 5th. So yeah, we haven't lost a game yet. Okay, that's great. But if the season ended like right now and you were doing, you know, points per game,
yeah,
yikes,
yeah,
that stinks. And again, from the perspective of what do we want to achieve as a club? Do we want to just make the playoffs this year? Because again, the top 10 teams make it, so that's really not hard.
Making the playoffs should be, in my opinion, you know, based on the organization, the way it's been the last 10 years. Like, that should, I don't want to say it's a gimme because nothing's a gimme. The U.S. thought the World Cup was a gimme, and now look what happened. But that should just be, like, that's not even where you start discussing your season goals.
Yeah, to me right now, it's top four or bust. Like, if you're going to make the playoffs, get into the top four. Like, don't sneak in on, like, a 8 seed and just call it a night. Like, if you want to be taken serious, if you want to have high expectations for the club, finish top four. That should be the goal. And, you know, it's funny because we start looking at this season. Here's a game we could have had 2 more points. How many other games this year do we feel that we've dropped points?
Louisville.
Arguably Charlotte. Loudon.
You don't want to be in the... Oh, God, yes, Loudon.
I'm just saying, last year, when you look at the final standings and you use this year's playoff format on last year's standings, obviously we all know Cincinnati ran away with the league last year. They had
right.
77. Second place team at 66. Then it goes down to 59, so still a little bit of separation.
Right.
Then it's only 3 points less is fourth place from third. After that, it's only 4 points.
There's a bunching, separates. Yeah.
And then only 2, and then only 1 after that, and then only 1 after... The difference between 5 and 8 was 3 points. 3 points!
And first and second was 11.
Yeah, like that's okay. You're usually going to have a runaway team every year. That's
right.
Not a problem. But the fact is between third and what, 6th? Over the course of an entire season, there was 9 points difference.
Which is... That's 4 or 5 games of where you drew and you probably could have, should have won.
Or a couple of wins that turn into draws.
Yep.
And when you start looking, and again, this is the part of the season, now that you've hit the quarterway mark, now you start looking ahead and going, what's going to be, where do we trend? Where do we start trending? Because, and it's funny because you hear this a lot too, the first quarter of the season, roughly, it's, we just need to get wins. Do anything that we can to get wins. You're going to establish your style, you know, closer to the middle of the season. Just get points. You know, you're all still new to each other. You're all still new to playing in the season. Get points at the first part of the season. Get your style in the middle towards the end. So that way you peak towards the end.
Right.
And I'm kind of worried about the fact that we've dropped so many points early in the season, and the fact that, you know, the difference between hosting a game and not hosting a game compared to last year,
which for us is generally the difference between winning the game and not winning the game.
Yeah.
And having another game.
Minuscule.
Right.
Minuscule. So I mean,
it's a fine line to walk, and we're
treading it already.
Yeah.
And I hope, like, again, with so many draws and again no losses, you're at this tipping point. We're like, last year we started the season hot, and then all of a sudden, like, one injury on one game and just the whole thing, the bottom
everything fell out. Yeah,
you're at a tipping point this year. You've got a heck of an undefeated streak going, and that's great, but teams get relegated because they draw too many times,
right,
overseas. So you could very easily put yourself in a situation that you could lose maybe only a couple of games all year, but if you draw everything, you're not going anywhere.
Reminds me, I'll bring it up off the air because it's not really super related to this, but it was interesting on another podcast I was listening to earlier. I guess it was earlier today on the way into work. I mean, we just need to we need to string a run together. And we need to start doing it as soon as possible, especially, and I know I want to save this for next week because it's going to be more relevant then, but... You know, there's a section of the fan base, and I think you're part of it, that is real big on the Open Cup.
Oh, yes.
And again, I'm going to say, we'll save the whole discussion for next week, but this is where I start to get a little bit worried about, like, because, sure, we're in the competition. I'd like to win the games and make a run or you know, pull off the upsets and get to the final or something. But then you start to worry about the impact that has, especially if you're already struggling in the beginning of the season. I don't want to dig it up too much right now, because next week we're going to know the opponents and we're going to know the opponent for the next week if we win. So I want to save this for then. But we can start like framing that conversation a little bit. You want to say something, I can tell.
Well, I mean, I'll say this too, because a part of this, I mean, we've already touched on this a little bit. Like, you know, what's your goals for the end of the season and how does that play with U.S. Open Cup? But we can certainly talk about that more next week. But
yeah, because next week, like I said, next week we'll know who we're playing.
If we are welcoming Pascal Millian back to town, or if it's
the green and gold versus the
old ladies.
Unclean and old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll put that one out there. All right. So there's actually a lot of rather interesting league news this week.
Yes, this has been fun.
And there's actually some Florida ties, too. Not Florida man, at least not as far as I know. So the big news kind of going around off the field, and well, it started on the field and then progressed off the field. There was a little bit of a racist incident in Tulsa last week. Tulsa Roughnecks were playing OKC Energy. One of OKC's players, Atiba Harris, mentioned after the game that he had been called the N-word several times during the game by a player from Tulsa. They did they said we're doing an investigation, blah, 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 which honestly is kind of where I thought this whole thing might end, but then they came out, I think, the next day and said that they had identified the player and had terminated his contract. The guy's name was Fabian Bastidas, if I'm saying it correctly, and I'm probably not. The flip side of this is that he started posting stuff online. I don't know if you saw this stuff yesterday.
Oh,
his response.
Oh, yeah, he's like doubled down on the whole thing.
Went on Instagram, said basically this is how he talks to his friends and colleagues and stuff, and teammates back home in I don't know if it was Brooklyn or just in New York somewhere, and that it's never said with racist intent or connotation. And I think his excuse, his reason, as he claims, actually makes me more upset than the original incident, because it's like, so, and he first starts off the whole post by mentioning that they were playing their rival team as if that somehow influenced the event, but then says he uses a term he of respect that he has for his friends and colleagues. I'm like,
yeah,
so were you just calling him the N-word because you just respect him so damn much?
Yeah,
I didn't quite get it.
No, I can't get it.
And then
that response was horrible.
Like, there's a difference between
bad.
And I'm not starting the whole who's allowed to say what. That's not my lane, but there's a difference between the way you act outside of the work and the way you act in work, and this is a game, but this is your job. You're being paid to be professional. Like, work me and sitting in a bar on a Wednesday night drinking beers and talking on the internet is a totally different person. Like, they just don't mix.
I understand the frustration on an individual level of the fact that, like, his whole world just got turned upside down professionally. In the blink of an eye. Now, granted, it's his own fault. I mean, no, let's not take anything away from that. But, I mean, I can understand where the player, just as a human being, kind of maybe lets his emotions get out of control a little bit and goes to social media and regrets something he posts.
Right.
And that's not going to do him any favors going forward. I mean, as far as ever trying to get into professional soccer again.
Yeah, like at this point, just shut up and lay low with it.
I'll say this. Let me be the counterpoint to all of this, because I fully agree with the decision of letting him go. Here's where I'm worried. That was really, really fast.
Yeah.
The announcement, the investigation, and the decision happened in, what, 2 days? Maybe three? My question is I'm assuming, because of the speed of it, that he turned himself in and admitted to it.
Probably. And, you know, there's video of the game. I'm sure they can pull it up and they've got, you know.
Maybe. Well, I mean, it's USL, so I don't know how technologically advanced they're going to be for picking up the sound of a random player at a random moment. Who knows? But.
Yeah.
But. That kind of response and the speed of that decision, assuming assuming that in this particular case he confessed, what happens in a situation with this league where a player does not confess?
Where it's in dispute,
it?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that has me worried about how quickly they pulled the trigger on this. And if you're playing a rival team in the middle of a season and you know you're both going to the playoffs, you're going to have to be careful
that someone doesn't misuse this precedent to a disadvantage. Yeah,
and that's something that has me worried a little bit. Now, I don't think anybody's going to actually do that.
No,
but I mean, it's just.
But I don't like the possibility that it could either.
It worries me in that context that somebody could misuse something that's supposed to be good and supposed to be protective of the players. It has me a little cautious about it.
Because, right.
Because, again, and it was funny because I saw a lot of reactions on Twitter where they were like, well, why didn't the referee handle this on the field? And it's like, guys, hold on. Referees cannot call what they don't hear themselves.
Exactly.
They cannot make a decision based on the word of mouth of 15 players. I mean, even if players on their own team are trying to turn the guy in, he cannot make that decision without hearing himself.
Right.
So this is almost, I mean, more than likely, this is almost always going to be an after-the-match type of decision. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see where they take the... He's getting a beer right now, so it's kind of distracting me because they have to go over the sound.
Right over the equipment.
Here's a coaster. So, I liked the decision. I'm happy they did it. I'm curious what the procedure is going forward a little bit.
Right.
Just so that way people don't abuse it. Hopefully, what kind of protections are going to be in place to make sure people don't abuse it. If that's going to be the response and the discipline, not getting suspended, but to get cut entirely, at this level, that turns a player's life upside down.
Do you start miking the player so you have this audio available?
No.
Put a little mic in their GPS harness and pull sound that way. The other thing is, and I know like the Rowdies had installed new camera cameras last year for getting video for training purposes. I don't know if they do audio or not. I mean, they kind of showed them mounted on like the light posts on Al Lang, the old like baseball lights. So I don't know if they can pull audio that way. But I gotta think they've got to be able to get some kind of something from down there.
But again, who's responsible for paying for that equipment, and can every team in the league actually afford to do something like that?
This might be something the league needs to handle.
And on the priority list, I hate to say it, but that's not really high on the priority
list. Or maybe, and this is just a wild idea, don't say racist stuff during games.
I mean, that's the go-to.
It's a wild idea, I know. Other one, this actually came up a little while ago. I noticed this on Twitter maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it kind of tied in. We talked a little bit about the...
You wanted to talk about this last week, too, right?
I meant to, and I forgot about it. Last week was kind of busy. We had a lot of stuff going on. But I saw something on Twitter. A guy and I guess his older son had both mentioned this. They went to an Orlando City game the two of them plus, I guess, the youngest son who was wearing a Rowdy's jersey and was not, surprisingly, not welcomed. I'm not going to say I'm surprised. I mean, not just because it's Orlando, but because that's kind of what's going to happen. But
I'll bet you $10 it was a youth jersey, too. I bet it wasn't a real jersey.
Maybe a TBU Rowdy's
jersey? I bet it's a TBU Rowdy's
possibly.
Jersey.
Possibly. I didn't see a picture. That'd be interesting.
I would put money on that.
And you know, it tweeted out, I know it's the rival team and everything, but, you know, cussing at the kid had to be like, I think he was like 10 or under maybe.
He's a child.
But the reason I bring it up, not just to make Orlando fans look bad again.
You don't have to put any effort to make that happen.
You know. There was a cool response from Zach Steinberger who tweeted at him and said, let me know when you're coming to a game. I'll get you guys tickets. I'll sign the jersey, et cetera, et cetera. And these guys knew Zach from his time with Jacksonville. So, one of the things that we were talking about tonight was how a lot of when the Rowdies mentioned the free walk-up tickets for the Open Cup match is that there's a lot of Orlando fans who were like, oh, I'll go cheer for the other team for the night. And you know, a lot of us sitting here talking about it, we're like, you know, we can't let this happen. It's a terrible idea. But at the same time, like, I kind of think there's, you know, there's the original Orlando fans, and then there's the since MLS ones who don't.
Of course there is.
Who don't, and that's who I think most of these people are. And it's an opportunity to possibly convert. So it might be a weird position to sound like I'm taking, but, you know, these guys, if they're coming in and wanting to enjoy the game, then welcome. Preferably don't wear purple.
Yeah, don't wear purple. Don't
just don't do that. You know, maybe we get them in here and they go, oh, you know, we actually have a good time here. We'll do this instead, because it's people from like Brandon and Sefner and more places you would associate with Tampa Bay. Like, if you're coming from, you know, I don't know, Winter Haven or something, like, I stick with Orlando, I guess. But we'll see what happens then. I don't think it's going to be a repeat of the last time Orlando fans came to an Open Cup game, but
yeah, no,
we'll find out.
No, in all seriousness, if you're listening to this podcast, you usually go to Orlando games just as a generic fan, and you're not, like, into the supporter culture and stuff like that. And you did not really become a fan of Orlando until after all of the drama happened between the Rowdies and stuff. Just don't. Here's my word of advice. Don't wear purple in our building. Please. Because, I mean, we're not going to treat you the same way Orlando fans treated that kid. But, I mean, people are going to say stuff no matter what. I mean,
yeah.
Friendly banner, but still. Like, you're not going to be immune to it. We make fun of people in the stadium every week that wear, like, an Orlando hat or something like that, because they just don't know any better, because it's just nonsense.
I did refrain from writing a kid up today just because he was wearing a Kaká jersey.
I'm going to talk to, you know, your education board about that one.
I mean, there's plenty of other things I could have done, but...
Oh, man, I'm going to get some old granny to write a heck of a letter for you, man.
See how this is going. This is Manatee County. The word of an old granny will kind of carry.
Hey, I know. Trust me. I remember I wanted to become a teacher at one point in my life. I get
it. God, thank God you smartened up.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
20 days and counting.
TikTok.
Yeah, basically. And I was going to throw this out there kind of jokingly, but I honestly, too, like, okay, so they cussed the kid out and flicked him off. Like, that sucks. It's a vast improvement over the way Orlando City fans usually react to kids in Rowdy's jerseys. Like, at least he didn't get punched in the face.
This is true.
I mean, that's there's precedent in the past there.
I'm going to be honest, though. Nothing would make me happier than doing an Open Cup game this year against Orlando City. And I don't care if it's home or away. I don't even care. I want another crack at them.
Do we do the Orlando thing where we play at, like, you know, some park that has a tree right in the middle of the field? Or would you play it? I mean, you got to play it at Al Lang. But if not, if you wanted to be a jerk to the Orlando team and the fans who come over,
we'll play it at Al Lang. You got to remember, we play in a league where we don't have any natural rivals.
I know.
None. So this is like, if we can get there, and Rowdies, if you're going to listen to this during the week, you better freaking win some Open Cup games to get to this point. We've got to play that at Al Lang, because that's going to be that is the only rival right now.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's essentially dead. Miami's basically doesn't exist.
And the way the setup is this year, you've got to win two games to get to the MLS round.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's not like before where you win that game and then you go to MLS. They're going to have a breakdown. It's going to be all the second round teams, the winner of those games, face each other third round.
Yep.
Then you bring in MLS in the fourth round.
Just guys, get there. I so want to play that.
We'll talk more about Open Cup next week. I say that, but I think I already threw most of my stuff out there.
I got plenty to talk about.
We'll come up with some stuff during the week. The other thing,
Speaking of other Florida teams and not having a natural rival, transitions.
Wait,
anyways,
Florida's other official team? Isn't that what they were? Strikers' man. Twitter account has regained life again.
It's like somebody snapped them back into existence.
So they tweeted out the other day, and it's the first time they've tweeted anything since retweeting something in like January of 2017, saying, you know, whatever anniversary this is of their founding, go to strikersgear.com and buy your like retro merch. And there's scarves, there's a couple different jersey styles up there. Which got me wondering, because there's all the talk about is, I guess, there's still the lawsuit stuff to sort out, where they're
tearing down the stadium and in a lawsuit, there's all sorts of crap going on.
There's a hearing, it was either today or it's coming up next day or two. The other group that was bidding is trying to get an injunction.
FXE Football was trying to get an injunction because the Beckham group started taking down the light poles, from what I understand.
Right.
And as like a first step to the demolition process.
Because they're scheduled to start like full demolition on like May 6th.
Yeah. It's like right around the corner. And that was part of the scary part about this was like, oh my gosh, like that stadium's about to disappear. Like, granted, I'm young, but I went to what, 6, 7, 8 games or something like that at that stadium. So like even I've got a lot of memories going.
I mean, I grew up down around there. I didn't really, you know, go inside the stadium until I went there for one of the games a couple years ago. So I don't know if you listen to Total Soccer Show. They had Mickey Turner on, who covers a lot of the soccer legal issues recently, talking about it and saying that
he's brilliant.
He's really good. The case for the injunction is vital because they need to tear it down so they can build a modular. They're trying to build a modular stadium to play in 2020 there. But if the injunction goes through, they will not be able to tear it down in time to put a modular stadium up. It affects their whole timeline for playing there coming into MLS. So waiting to see what the outcome of that trial is. And then this pops up, and you know, there was all that rumor that, you know, maybe, you know, because FXE Football wanted to bring the Strikers brand back. I did a little research. As far as I can tell, it's still owned by Bill Edwards, or more accurately, Marketing Solutions Publications, which is one of his companies. I tried to see where the website is registered, but that information is protected. However, the tweet did come from Fort Lauderdale.
I saw that part.
The website is Strikers Gear, just like the Rowdy's site was Rowdy's Gear.
Yeah, and it was funny because I almost pointed out that it was like, oh, hey, look, I guess Edwards is trying to sell some of this old stuff before, you know, the brand disappears completely. And that's when I saw that the location for that. Now, granted, I don't know how easy it is to manipulate that. Because I think you can pick.
Yeah, right?
You can edit the location that your tweet's coming from.
Yeah,
pretty
but
sure.
Is anyone there doing that? I don't know if that's a...
I mean, it's not like you're going to do a whole lot of tweets. It's probably going to be like the one.
I had heard something in the past, and Jake, if he's listening, maybe can get in the DMs and send me all the full info again. There was something that, I don't know if, remember if it was Florida Cup or something, but Fort Lauderdale's old GM, Cucati, was involved in something that the Rowdies were working with before Bill Edwards sold the team. So I don't know if it's part of that. My gut reaction at this point is that it's Bill just trying to like keep the name in the public, maybe sell some merchandise, prove that there's interest in it to try and generate some, you know, interest in buying the name from him.
It's hard to say. I mean, he could just be. I don't know. It's hard to say. It depends on how much gear they got left. I mean, what if they got like?
Well, but it looks like it's new stuff. Like the scarves, there's no like NASL or logos on it. It's just it's new scarves, and one's like, oh, check out this retro jersey. But it's obviously a new jersey, just in a retro style. Like it looks like they had some stuff created. You're getting ready to watch the CCL final, aren't you?
Oh yeah, of course.
Are you staying here to watch the whole thing?
I might
stick around and watch the first half. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So
it's only the biggest game. We'll get on that. That'll be last.
That's the rest of the league in Florida news for now. Look ahead next week, next Wednesday, Nashville. I did the whole like full in depth preview because this is a team that's up there a little bit right now. It's their last time we're going to go there before they go to MLS. Last year, they finished 12-9-13, good for 8th in the East, lost in the playoffs to Cincy on penalties. Leading scorer is a guy named Brandon Allen with 8 goals. I'd be happy if we had a striker with 8 goals this year. okay with that. So far, and this was last night, and it may have been adjusted a little bit with the teams moving around in the rankings. They are currently 3-2-2, which was good as of last night for 8th with 11 points. They've got two former Rowdies on the roster, Matt Pickens, who didn't start the season out but has been playing a little bit. He's made the majority of appearances now. Darnell King is there as well. He was in San Antonio last year, right? So he came over to Nashville this year.
Yep.
Their statistical leaders, Daniel Rios with 5 goals on 13 shots. Lebo Maloto, 2 assists, 12 chances created, 3 yellow cards. Maybe we can spark another red like we did tonight. Matt Pickens has 10 saves, 2 clean sheets, and 4 goals conceded. I'm not going to go like line by line through the stats here.
Did you
get a chance to take a look at it?
I know enough of it. I mean, I don't need to.
What is there anything that jumps out at you from these stat comparisons as to what you think the game might look like?
It's hard to say. I mean, honestly, though, so our team is going to be good enough to control possession again, like if we want to. So, because they're not exactly scoring goals on that team either. So, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of expecting a low-scoring affair.
Yeah, 7 games, 11 goals, 2-8, and, well, now 9 and 14 for us.
But the spread of those goals are kind of odd. Like, right. It's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not expecting a high-scoring game. It's going to be another slugfest. I mean, nothing from the Rowdies has told me that they can break out and dominate games with comfortable leads for long stretches. I mean, quite frankly,
that aren't against Hartford.
But it's Hartford. It's the Barracuda. So
that's, you know,
it doesn't matter.
You can predict that.
Like that game, you just scratch off. The Atlanta game really should have only ended 2-1. Like that was not a 4-1 game. That was maybe a 2-1 game. That would have been a good score. So there's not a whole lot from the Rowdies that I can say. Oh yeah, we're gonna go out there and just like crush them or whatever. Nah, it'll probably be like 1-1. I'm gonna skip right to the prediction.
All right, so go on to your prediction.
1-1.
1-1?
Yeah, 1-1. That's absolutely 100%. Because I just don't see us. We haven't demonstrated that we can just
right.
go out and dominate and score the goals necessary to win a game by 2 or more.
And if you take that as a standalone result, that's not terrible. But the string we've had the last few games,
it's gonna
feel disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's a sign. All right. Well, anything else we need to put out there before we wrap it up?
If you are listening to this show and you are that much of a diehard soccer fan and you're not watching the CONCACAF Champions League Grand Final second leg between Monterrey and Tigres, you are a fool. Because
dude, what did we say last week? Like the games, why we're 2 minutes in, there's already a guy down on the turf with giant red holes in his ankle from a bad tackle.
You got to remember, this is like the biggest rivalry in Mexico right now.
Oh, he had his kid airbrushed in the shin guards.
There you go. But no, like you're talking two fan bases that show up to every one of these games. Yeah, this Clásico in Mexico is one of the most important. And it's been one of the best because Monterrey and Tigres have been two of the best teams in Mexico. So watching this game, if you're a soccer fan, just have fun. And I don't even care if you're watching it in Spanish. I would prefer to watch it in Spanish. It's on Univision Deportes if you have that channel locally. Otherwise, you can watch the game with English commentators
on the Yahoo app.
Sports.
Yeah.
It's free, 100%. Just search Yahoo Sports, CONCACAF Champions League or something.
And I think they're subbing this kid off.
It'll take you right to it.
I don't know if you got a chance to talk to him. Anyway, he popped in like a little bit after you got here. Did you talk to Matt Kurtz at all?
No, I don't think I had a chance to.
All right, so he literally just flew back from a business trip, got off the plane, came straight here to Shamrock to watch the last half of the Rowdies game. Said that while he was making his connection out of Atlanta, I guess we're right when he got to Atlanta this morning, there was a family there in Tigres jerseys, and this is around like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, "Oh yeah, good luck tonight." And he's like, "Yeah," they're like, "Yeah, we're going," and like it just happened to be that they were on vacation, they were going home today, it's the game, they're like, "Yeah, we're off the plane, right to the stadium to watch it. I'll throw out there for, we mentioned a little bit earlier, you mentioned a little bit the Sarasota Metropolis, the new League 2 team down here in Sarasota. They kick off their season next Wednesday, inconveniently for us, at the same time as the Rowdies game on Wednesday. So I don't think I'm going to make it out there for that one, because I'll be here watching the game and then we're going to do the show again from here. But if you're in the area, come on down, check them out. They're going to be at the Robert Taylor Complex on, it's just off of 301 south of the Sarasota County line. I will be out there for later games, but not this one, unfortunately. All right, so let's wrap this up. I don't think we had you do this last week.
I don't think so.
But I think you're familiar with the concept, the We Love You. Who are you giving a We Love You to tonight?
That's true. I didn't do this, and so I really haven't thought about this segment because we didn't even put it in the notes, so you didn't even remind me. So this is kind of a surprise.
It's right there in the notes. In the wrap-up.
You listen here. I think I looked at the
notes. It's permanently in the notes because I just leave that block the same.
I don't believe you. Let's see here. Well, since I really didn't get to do it last week, my official We Love You is to all of you guys at the Unused Subs. Jake,
you Matt, just don't know us that Dan. Well yet, then.
No. I do. But no, all of you guys, Pat, you know, Spencer, when he's able to chime in, Jeff, when he's able to chime in, like, all of you guys, thank you. This has been fun. I've enjoyed this first night on the show as an official co-host.
Think you got 200 in you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I have 200 in me. I'm getting kind of up there.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see. I'm going to throw mine out to, we always mention Shamrock in the thanks at the end. I'm going to throw it out there to the Skyway Casuals tonight for putting on another great watch party. Singing, yelling, screaming, drinking, cursing, bantering, etc., etc. Thank you, as always, to our friends at Wolfface for the theme music, to Radio St. Pete for the place to broadcast, and to the Shamrock Pub in Sarasota for having us out here on Wednesday nights. We'll be back again next week. And also for preparing the food. Thank you to you guys for listening. And if you can, as always, share, subscribe, rate, and review on wherever you're listening to us at. It helps puts us in front of other people who might be demented enough to be interested to listen to this. If you want to support the show on an ongoing basis, you can go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Steven, if I remember correctly, you were a patron at one point.
I was. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think I was one of the first.
So
it wouldn't surprise
for
me.
People who may not believe it, there are, like, you might start donating money now. You could be the next co-host.
This, yeah. See, there you go.
You could
that's
come on.
That's the next Patreon level.
That's the bench. There so I kept saying all year that I was going to rework the perks and levels and stuff, and I never did it because I knew this, like, change was coming. So I figured I'll wait until you come in. We'll get your input and we'll go on it that way. So we'll have some changes up there coming up soon. Thanks, as always, to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. That's been another episode. We'll be back next Wednesday night after the game. We'll talk to you then. Steven, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week for another live show.
See you guys later.